So go over and grab something if you're hungry. But we're going to pray. And this morning, what I'd like us to pray about in particular is I'd like us to pray about, God, what do you want to say to me today? It's great that I'm sitting by my friend or by my, you know, bud or, you know, my coworker or whoever. But, God, what do you want to say to me today? Because he is a personal God. He cares about the deep, and his deep calls to our deep. He longs for that part of us. And it's the part that is the ugly, the beautiful, you know, the raw, the honest, sometimes the really not pretty part of us. He loves all of it. He really does. And that's what he wants to touch today. So, Father, this morning, as women of God, we stand together, unified, God, saying, what do you want to say to our hearts today, God? Father, what do you want to speak to me about? Help me not to be distracted. Help my ears to be open. Help my heart to be receptive, God, today. Father, we just pray, Lord God, that you would be glorified in all that we do this morning, God. Father, you would be with each person that speaks. Father, that you, Lord God, would speak through us. And Father, that this worship would just rise to you, that you would be pleased with it, that you would be glorified in it, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen.
To Ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips. Ladies, we are so blessed. We are so blessed. Yesterday when I was driving home, the Lord gave me a word for the what I thought was going to be the prayer team. And after praying through it again last night, I thought, no. That word is for every single one of us. And what he said is, for such a time as this, I have chosen you. I have chosen you not just because you came here, not just because it's a woman's conference. I have chosen you to worship me, to come together in a body and worship me, and see me as your Lord and Savior. And because our God is so good, He is letting us know that we are capable, that we are loved, we are forgiven, we are worthy. We are His daughters. That means we are perfect in His sight. There isn't a greater love than the love that the Father has for us. No greater love than the Father has for us. So you are worthy. You are capable. You are ready. 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 We want to serve. We want to serve. The Lord has given us a blessing to be servants of the King, to bow before Him and receive that which He has for us. Look around, ladies. Look around at the warriors. Look around at the prayer people. Look around the ones who have the heart to serve. And when you're looking at them, look back at yourself, because we have the heart to serve the broken, the needy, one another. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to hear, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us so much. You care so much. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
These will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. And you will be praised, and you will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. And you will be praised, and you will be praised. Ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
What a challenge already this morning. Amen. That's all we are called to do. He made us to be worshipers. That's all he made us for. All the extra stuff, that's just extra stuff. He created us to worship him and him alone. Amen. Greet somebody next to you and let's get ready for our first session. Well, good morning, ladies. I'm so excited about today. Bobby, you were out of the room, and I said, I can't wait to see in real time what abiding looks like. So I'm ready for that. Real time, yeah. So prior to my husband and I being senior pastors here at the church and associate pastors here at the church and on the worship team and all those other things, we were in the children's department, and we were on a trip, and we had lost our children's pastor, and we were praying as we were on this trip, and it's like, I don't know why it is, but anytime we go on a trip, God always talks to us. We're supposed to be on vacation, Lord, don't you know? But I guess he needs to get us away from everything, and that's when he thinks that we're able to pay better attention. But he talked to my husband and not me, saying, you need to be the children's pastor. And he started talking to me and said, you know, we really should do that. And I'm like, I don't do children. I've done children. I did when I first started in working in a church, I was like 15 years old, and they threw me in the children's department. I learned everything about the Bible through children's stories. Great way to learn. But I did it for a long time, and I was like, I'm not ready for term two. Mm-mm. And he's like, no, you need to really pray about it because I really feel like God's telling. And I'm like, well, he's not telling me. So he said, just pray about it, just pray about it. And I'm like, okay. Well, even when I said, okay, we would do it, I just said it with my lips. My heart was very far from there. I did not feel it. And so he's like, just give it time, just give it time. Well, I'm not kidding you guys. The very first day walking through that door, it's like I was a completely different person. Like God took out, oh, that stony heart and gave me a heart of flesh for those kids because we were children's pastors for 3 years, 3 years. And that's a long time to be children's pastors and not be in, you know, in the service and not be under worship and all that. That's a long time. So anyway, so I'm like, when that 3 years was up, I was thankful. I served faithfully, but I was really glad when that 3 years was up because I'm like, Lord, now term two is done. You don't get revoted in for a third term, but the president only can do two terms, right? So I'm thinking I'm good until this year. And we had one of our children's teams kind of, you know, people left and stuff. So it's like this team is available, and we now do teams. Like one does a month, one does a month, one does a month, and then we rotate again, one does a month. And so I'm like, oh, what are we going to do? Well, I ended up taking a team. Joke's on me. And but I'm telling you all that to say that when my husband Mike and I did children's, my heart was to teach those kids about other people and not themselves. Like, they had to look outside of themselves. They had to look beyond who they were. So our very, very, very first, and I do call it outreach, our first children's outreach was to Africa. And so what we did was we heard about, and I don't even remember what ministry it came through or anything, but there was these boxes that they made about this big. And they were, you could purchase a box and they would send it to a missionary in Africa. And they would have this box that is like, has a mini flannel board with figures, curriculum, music instruments. I mean, this box was chocked full. It was lightweight, but they actually carried it into the bush to teach children Sunday school and about Jesus. And our kids got on board like you would not believe. They bought it. And back then, now this was like, oh, I'm dating myself. This was like 18 years ago, I want to say. The box was like, honey, was it $500? $500. And in that 1 year, those children raised that $500. That's amazing. That's really amazing. But what was even more amazing is when they got the acknowledgement back, like it was so personal. It's like, you kids, you did such a good job. Thank you so much. This is your missionary. This is what they're doing. I mean, they were like, oh, we have a missionary. You know, they took ownership of that. And so every time we had Christmas or Easter, we did something like that for the kids. And to this day, these kids are like older, married. Like, you know, they're out, like they're in, you know, they're adults now. And they still talk about that one missionary box and then about all the other things that we did. So, again, this year I said, Lord, you know, I'll take a team. And immediately God put on my heart Pastor Danny Curl in Africa. He's in Zimbabwe. And we get letters often, just updates. And his son Daniel is in Houston, and he's the one that does the ministry through the United States. And he's the one that sends out this letter about what his dad is doing and, you know, how it's going and stuff. So we got this letter in December, and I kept it. And then immediately I knew that's what our kids are going to do. And so in January, our children made this little can, and each one of them took a picture of Africa and colored it. And it took me a long time to get it figured out how I was going to get all of those little things on there, because that was rough, but I did it. And it doesn't look, you know, it looks cute, but it's not that great. But I shellacked it on here so it would be personalized for them. They love it. You know, they get the can and they look to see where their name is, you know, on their little person that they colored in January. So, you know, they get the reminder all the time. And so to date, I think the children have raised over $300 already. So, and let me just tell you a little bit about Pastor Danny. Here, Bobby, can I hand you that? Thanks. Okay, so Pastor Danny and his family have served in Africa for 53 years. 53 years. Like, I'm 1 year older than that. Like, when I was a baby, he was already in Africa. It just astounds me. In the 1980s, they had four boys and were in Africa with, I mean, they raised their children in Africa. Like, that's astounding to me in itself. But his wife passed away in a motor vehicle accident. And at the same time, they got, like, within a month, they got a knock on their door, and it was the police. And they had this baby that had been thrown away. And they asked Pastor Danny, do you want it? Do you want this baby? And he said yes. Immediately, he and his four boys babied that baby, nurtured that baby, raised that baby. To date, they've had 23 children brought to them and raised 23 from zero until now. They're serving in the church, all 23 of them. But what happens in Zimbabwe is this: abortion is not allowed. There's no abortion in Africa. Amen. Let's go to Africa. You know what I mean? I mean, there's no abortion there. But what does happen is these women carry the baby to term. They have the baby, and then they throw the baby away. And most times, they don't get to them in time. But these 23 babies, they did. And Pastor Danny took them in, and the boys, I mean, they took it on as their ministry to raise these 23 children. And they were brought to him, and they, the four men and Pastor Danny, had no money except what they could get from America to raise these children. And you know, churches have adopted them for a season, or children's ministries like we're doing this year have adopted them for a season. And it's from those funds that those children are raised. And so anyway, since they started serving 53 years ago in Zimbabwe, they have planted over 100 churches there. And people are learning more and more about the Lord. So the death rate of these babies that are being born have significantly gone down because they already know Pastor Danny will take that baby. They know that. So they don't even bother with, most of them don't bother with the trash heap in Zimbabwe. They know that the police will take the baby to Pastor Danny. So some babies are left on the orphanage door. Some babies have been left on his doorstep. And he just loves them right into his home. Now he is doing a ministry for widows. And let me just tell you about this. Okay, so he was going out and he was, you know, checking in on all these homes that he had connection in. And he was noticing these widows had no mattresses. They had no blankets. They had no pots, no pans. And very, very, very little food. And so Pastor Danny took it in his heart to start making, taking them food. So he would take them food. And then on Christmas Day, now this is Christmas Day, all of the children know that if they go to Pastor Danny's house, the bakery truck will come and each child will get a loaf of bread for their family. Merry Christmas. And as I'm hearing these words spoken by Pastor Danny's son, I'm just like, oh, my heart is just getting heavier and heavier. And I'm thinking to myself, you spoiled baby. You know, you complain about things that don't really even matter. You have everything. And it's just like, it's just a slap for me to recognize how this precious man and his family laid their lives aside in order to minister to Africa. The economy in Africa is so bad. It is completely gone. And I did not know this, but you know those commercials that you see about feeding the orphans and all these lines and people get a bowl of food a day? And from what I understand from Daniel, Pastor Danny's son, those lines are very demeaning. Like those people that are in the line, they put up with it so that they can have that bowl of food. But it is degrading and demeaning to stand in line like that for food for most of the African people. So Pastor Danny recognized that. And so what he has done is he has started collecting food, taking it to the women of the family and letting them make it for their own family so that there's respect added to what they're getting. Do you understand what I mean? And so Pastor Danny has been, these widows, he has been going and checking on them every single month. They have one that's 104. They have two that are completely blind. And they live alone in these little tiny shacks. And when he goes one month, he sees a blanket that he gave them last year. Or he sees a mattress that he brought to them 6 months ago. Or a pot that he knows he gave to them for Christmas. I mean, those kind of things. So now what he's doing is he's actually giving out baskets at Christmas time to the, particularly to these widows. And they are so precious. This is what they do. They get their basket, and then the families that are around them, if the little children come to her little hut, she will feed that child. Like, she doesn't take it for herself. She takes it for anybody that, I mean, it's astounding. So our kids have adopted this ministry this year. And the reason that I'm telling you all of this, and I think, I don't know where it's going to go, but my husband was on a ministry trip to, trying to remember, in Mexico, babe, what was the name? Monterrey. And he went there, and he was wearing, you know, they all dress up when they go on their trips. And so, and this was years ago, like when we first got married, he went on this trip to Mexico and he was wearing this jacket and then he was wearing this tie. And this, I think it was a woman that did that, babe. Was it a lady that spoke to you? A man about Africa? He says, I know your tie kind of looks African, but has nothing to do with it. I see Africa in your future. And I'm like, oh Lord, what are you thinking? But as I, like when I got off the phone with Daniel yesterday, I turned and looked at my husband, and I burst into tears. It's like, oh, my goodness. And so anyway, I'm digressing. But anyway, so one more thing I just want to say is that because the economy is so bad, they've had to shut down the elementary school in Pastor Danny's village area. Like, it's gone. And or it was gone. The police, again, the officials came to him and said, we can't pay to run this anymore. If you guys want it, you can have it. Do you? And, like, it's a building. And he's like, yes, we'll take it. So one of his sons, Jonathan, and his children are there. And Jonathan is the principal of the school. And then another of the boys, let me see, which one is it? Jonathan, David, Stephen. Where is Stephen in all of this? Stephen is in Zimbabwe, and he's also helping at the school. And they now have over 200 children. But what the amazing thing is that the government, when the government was running the school, it was school. But with Pastor Danny running the school, it's a Christian school. So these children are not only learning the basics, but they're also learning about Jesus. And they're learning, and they every day they hear about Jesus, because they've the workers that work there, they all got saved under Pastor Danny. And now they're in there working, so all of them are telling the children about Jesus. So this is what's on my heart. This is the ministry that is in my heart. So when you go back there and you look at the table and you see the can, if you have, give. I know all of the ministries that we have are like that are back there. But I just want to say to you, pray for our kids here in this church, please, because these kids have an opportunity of owning this. They have the opportunity of really taking ownership in helping in this ministry. So pray for our babies. Pray for Pastor Danny. I mean, he is an amazing, amazing, amazing man. I wish, and it may come in the future, that David or Daniel may come. You should hear the accent, like it's like romantic accent, like it's so beautiful. And a little bit of it, it's a little hard to understand until you're like really listening, but it's beautiful, gorgeous, gorgeous accent. And Pastor David and Retta are serving over in one of our Grace churches in Vancouver, but they still have the accent. All of them have come from Africa. So you just should hear it. It's just so gorgeous. But anyway, pray for all of them. Pray for them, because they've pretty much laid their lives on the line for this. I remember as a little girl, when I was going to church, and I knew that we were getting a missionary in to speak, and I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be a boring Sunday. I thought that as a kid. And so I kind of just dismissed that Sunday. You know, I liked the singing and the worship, but, you know, pretty much when that person got up, I tuned out. Like, it's just a missionary. But now, because it speaks to my heart so much about children, about babies, about widows, about orphans. I mean, my ears just perk right up when I hear Africa and I hear about what they're going through. So pray for them. Their life is not easy, but it's very rewarding. And I will tell you, they pray for you. They do. It's amazing to me that Africa actually sends missionaries to the United States. We've had them in our church. How many of you guys remember Paris and Lois? They came to our church as missionaries because they have God so much, and the United States is getting so complacent about the Lord. I still remember Paris. Gayreen, that's how she said my name. Gayreen, because she couldn't say else. It was so cute. But anyway, okay. So anyway, so that's my ministry. Pray for our kids. Pray for Pastor Danny and all the family over there. And pray for us. I want to hear God's voice, you know. I want to do what God wants me to do and us to do and how life is going to be. So before we get into the next one, which is going to be Pastor Carrie, we're going to have a couple giveaways. Sarah, you want to come help? Okay, so today the giveaways are... Okay, so today it's another coffee card, and it's $10 for next door. Huh? Yeah, shake it up. Did you guys put your name in here twice? There's more than there was last night. Okay. Who is it? Panda's not here, so we need to draw again. Shauna Payne. Woo! And Betty, your name was drawn last night for the $40 McDonald's card. So, yay, Betty. Okay, and now here's the movie bucks. I call them movie bucks, but it's a pass into the movies. You can only use it for a movie. You can't use it for the popcorn, butter popcorn. Sarah just drew for herself. She wants the beauty bag. Next, oops, wow. Kendra McNeil. Yeah, but she can still come and go to the movies with me. Yep. Or give it away to one of your brothers for Christmas. Caleb. Okay, so what is this for? This one is for the, how do you say?
Sensi.
Okay, that thing.
Amy.
Woohoo! So there's two bricks in there too, Amy, for it and all that stuff. Now the McDonald's card and the beauty basket was all donated by Stephanie's work, Emerald Care, and it's do you call it a nursing home, Stephanie? Yeah, nursing home, down in Wapato, and actually they minister there once a month. That's tomorrow. Yeah, we'll do the. Let's do the basket, and then we'll save the massaging list for next, because we have two more. Okay, this is the basket, you guys. This is the beauty basket.
Gina!
Yeah, that's rigged. Yay, okay. Oops, I don't want to drop that. Okay, so the next drawing is going to be our last drawing, and it will be two movie bucks. It will be this gorgeous painting by Miss Lotta. Is it not beautiful, ladies? And then a one-hour massage. So that will be in the next session. So hang on, there's still more. Okay, so Pastor Carrie Jennings. Carrie, how long have we known each other? A long time. She and Pastor Brian are lead pastors at Breakthrough Church. And I absolutely adore this woman. When she takes over a microphone, it's like God coming through this voice of hers. Nice. Come on, it is. And she has got a heart of gold. She is so precious to me. I just love her so much. And I'm so thankful for her. I just adore you. So you talk.
I love this lady. And I just want to say I've loved watching you with your ladies. You have such a mama heart. And we need the mama heart. You know, I love that you have all ages represented here. And the mama heart is super important because, you know, there's times where, and you're not, you're mama. I'm not going to even try to say, you know, the older women in part because you're not. You're so young. You're so young-hearted. You are. But I love the wisdom and the caring for your people. It, like, oozes out of you. And I love that. I love that. I just see you just opening your arms and everyone just nestling in. Let's nestle in. I just love it. And Sarah, can you show a little enthusiasm for Gina winning the beauty basket? I mean, you said that with such Gina. I don't even really know Gina that well, but sorry, Gina. I'm just going to. I love Sarah. I'm going to give her a hard time. I felt the love. I did. Okay, so I want to say this also. Your baskets in the bathroom are fabulous. Are those there all the time, or is it just like through this time? Amazing. Like the women in our church, I hope that they don't ever just randomly come and use your bathroom. I hope they hold it because they're going to be like, they are so spoiled. They get like, you guys have the little tooth floss things and you have everything you need to make it a good day. So way to go on that. That's nice. I love this church. I love what this church represents. I love this conference because it's so different than any other women's conference. I mean, it truly is the heart of God. It's the heart of worship. It's the heart of reaching out, what we're supposed to do. It's the heart of healing. Your word last night, ugh, like rocked me. Rocked me. It was so good. It was so good. And we need to hear this. So it's, you know, I love fluffy women's conferences. I don't really. I'm lying. I really don't. I don't appreciate them like some do. And if you do love a good fluff women's conference, that's awesome. Because sometimes we need that. We need to feel fluffy and pretty and leave, you know, with our little high heels on and feel pretty. But so I want to get to the root of the issue. We all have issues. We're all going through different things in our lives. And I don't mean to ramble, but I love this because it's so just the heart of God. And I appreciate that. So anyway, I'm supposed to be talking about feed the need. But, you know, those preachers. Oh, my gosh. I'm not even a preacher. I don't know why I just said that. Okay, so one thing that I do love and I do want to say, the fact that you're bringing all churches together, because that is the heart of God. Nehemiah, you know, I mean, that is the heart of God, that we all go to different places in our city. It's not like supposed to be this little club and you lure people into this weird club and then we're all like sitting around staring at each other. It's supposed to be we come into the church, we get filled up with God's presence, we sharpen each other, and then we go out and pour out. And we go to different points of our city, and that's what I love about this city is that, you know, Yakima has a bad rap, right? But really, truly, it is a beautiful city with beautiful people in the city from all different places, tribes, all different nationalities, all different walks of life. And we come together and it makes this very unique little like bowl of goodness. And then we go, you know, we do our thing in our churches, but then we go and work at the gates of our city. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. And that's what this is all about. And I love that. So Feed the Need, I'm just going to give you a quick little brief story on Feed the Need. So we went to Dream Center 4 years ago, and Tanya was one of the group that went. And I had been to Dream Center before. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's in LA. It's a hospital. They have just a ton of ministries. They reach out to just the broken and the hurting all over LA, and they've made a huge difference in LA. They've actually changed the city and changed the Echo Park, East LA area just with their presence and all the people that they help. So we went, in the past, I went to just go and help because I love LA. So I would just go and help and do whatever I needed to do. But this time was different because we went really with the heart of our city is in need. There is a 911 alarm that is ringing, and now we know that they are doing this really well. What are they doing? What have they done to really help the heart of their city? And how can we, not to copy and not to duplicate, but how can we look at the inner workings of it and see what will work in our city? So we go, and we have this amazing time, and God just rocks us, and literally we just heard people's stories. I just want to say this statistic, and not to bring any kind of fear, I just rebuke any fear, but there are 8 million Americans that are one paycheck away from being homeless. That is a third of the American population, that one paycheck away. So that means you get sick and you can't work, then you're homeless. Now, we have people, like, you know, you have people in your life that they'll help you and they'll take you in, but my husband and I were in a place in our life not that long ago. I was maybe, I don't know, 8 years ago, that the economy crashed and we crashed and we were literally homeless, not living on the streets. Thankfully, we weren't on the streets. We had family that took us in, but a lot of these people and people that we see out on the streets, they don't have someone to take them in and to help them get on their feet. So then they're homeless, and then it turns into this cycle. So, you know, it's easy for us to drive by and be like, I'm not giving them anything. They're just going to use it on drugs. That's kind of like our mentality. We have no idea what people are going through. We don't know their struggle. We don't know their pains and their hurts. And so it's just easy to walk by them. When we went to LA and we were on Skid Row, you couldn't just walk past someone. First of all, they wouldn't let you. First of all, they're like, what are you doing here? I mean, it was like real, you know, and you're like, well, I just, you know, do you want anything to eat? No. Do you want to hear my story? Do you care anything about me? You're going to breeze in here. You're going to make yourself feel good by giving us something to eat, and you're going to leave, and I'm stuck in the same position. Wow. So do you want to hear my story? Sit on this nasty sidewalk that has feces on it that I sleep on with the rats, and then tell me you want to hear my story. I'm sitting on the sidewalk. What's your story? And a lot of people, it was just like, it was just sad, broken stories. And then they end up just getting in this cycle. And so God just gripped the heart, especially of three people. And so it was Tanya Martinez now, and it was Darius Pleasant, and it was Crystal, what's her new name? Cortez. I always call her Valdez. So they came back, and they were like, this is not okay. What can we do? So they sat in a meeting, just the three of them, and I love Tanya is just organized, and so she's figuring out a plan, and Darius is like, whatever, I'll just show up. And so they're just figuring it out and literally just started collecting food and started feeding people. So it started with that 4 years. Am I correct on the four? So a little under. And then at that point, just started collecting food from whoever would donate. So it was kind of like an interesting meal. I'll just say interesting meals probably that were served in the early tacos. And hamburger is expensive now. Hamburger did not used to be expensive. So there were some days it would have hamburger and some days really good mashed potatoes and chilies and things. But God has really brought us a long way. So over in the four-year period, over 25,000 hot meals have been served on Thursday nights here in Yakima. We have given out, and that's mainly almost all to the homeless, but we will serve anyone. So there's a lot of seniors who come through. Do you know that seniors, I'm just going to bring just a little bit of awareness in this area. They have a choice between food a lot of times and medication. So there are a lot of, this is so heartbreaking, but there are seniors who are eating dog food. There are children who are thankfully for our school programs. Thank God our programs in Washington State, I don't know if it's like this in Oregon right now, but they're free. So kids get breakfast, lunch, and then sometimes a snack. I mean, that just blesses my heart. Before that, they were starving. You know, so many times moms would just give up their piece of bread for their children. So that tugs on my heart. That tugs on my heart. So we also have a food truck that we take food out into the community's bags of food so that they can at least have like a week's worth of food. And I don't really know the number on that one, but So that's awesome. Okay, now here's where things get a little tricky, and this is where I had to call Pastor Galen. So we have a problem with Feed the Need. We have been shut down. So an organization that holds all the food for the homeless and for the people in need, they're holding the food, and they won't give the food. I'm not exactly sure. There's red tape. There's politics. It shakes my brain. And I try to not be super outspoken about this, but it frustrates me because we don't have three sinks. Okay, we serve. This church is amazing. It's a church somewhat like this one. It's wonderful, and it serves food to so many people. However, this church does not have three sinks. And so now our food program is shut down. So we now have to figure out plan B. So you have to just know where. Okay, so first of all, I was just like, well, they can't do that. Tell them we need our food. There's hungry people in our city. And then it started boiling up in me. I'm just going to be real. Then I'm just irritated. And I always tell people, do not go to social media. If you are irritated, you filter that. You pray. You get in the word. Do not go to social media. What do? I'm like this, I'm so irritated. They shut our food down. A big old rant. If you saw that, I'm really sorry. I was like, oh. Okay, so then I'm just like, we need a plan B. And so we're just trying to rack our brains and praying, God, what do you want us to do? And then suddenly, the Holy Spirit is so wonderful. And the Holy Spirit just really spoke and said, you live in the world system. You live in man's system. You can't expect it to be fair. You can't expect for the enemy to fight fair. You can't expect for the enemy to just to sit back and be like, cool, you're feeding thousands of people and you're reaching them for Christ. You go. Absolutely not. So what do we do? Time and time again in the Word, people were living under man's system. Did they bow down to man's system? They did not bow down to man's system. They rose up. They got creative ideas from heaven. Like, how can we do this? What will this look like? And God just really spoke and said, what I've called you to do is I've called you to reach out to the poor and the hurting, to the needy and the broken. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to say, stand before me and say, but God, they shut our feeding program down? Absolutely not. How can you still reach out? What can you do? So we're in this place of like, okay, we're just going to make big pots of chili. We're going to figure this out. This is not a problem. However, in the meantime, then I need to be making sure that my trunk has blankets in it. If I have extra blankets, I go to Goodwill and I buy blankets and I wash them up and I put them in my trunk. I need to make sure there's food. I saw this cool thing on Pinterest, I believe, where someone packed up a purse. They bought like a purse and packed it full of all of these like items that someone may need. And they just go and bless someone on the streets with a purse with all these items. Wasn't that so cool? So I'm like, okay, now I need to be part of the solution. Sometimes I get overwhelmed and I shut down if I feel like, oh, there's too much. It's hopeless. It is not, because God is so awesome. He will bring the people to you that you need to reach out to one day at a time, one person at a time. God, today, who am I supposed to reach out to and how can I help them? So whether it's me going and buying someone a meal, I'm just going to be part of the solution and let the Holy Spirit still work through me. The program, Holding Our Food Until Spring, it's not going to shut us down because we're still going to feed the need and meet the need. And that's what we're all called to do, whether it's through a newspaper, whether it's through like blankets in your trunk, whatever it is, we are all called to meet the need. Maybe it's just, yes. Have you ever seen the inside of one of those? I don't know. I eat at them. But I have no idea how they pass that. Mm-mm. We just have a storage truck that would hold groceries. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Which I just heard this the other day. There was a big fancy food truck in town, and before they actually officially opened, I heard that they closed it and they were selling it, which I was sad for them. Yes, it was actually, it's not him, it's someone else who, yes. So I was praying for that. Yes. So I was praying for that. I was kind of like, God, just wouldn't that be awesome? This is why it would be awesome. Let me just say this. You talked about the bowl of soup and people losing their dignity, and you know, I feel like, wouldn't that be awesome to pull up with a food truck and to bless them with a cool meal, just a great meal, and go to them and, you know, them not have to, I don't know. There's so much to pray about. That's a good thought. Help me pray about that food truck. If any of you own it, then let's talk. I don't know really who owns it. But I just want to say this. It's super important to be in the Word in this time, because the Word is going to lay out very clearly so we don't become overwhelmed. But, you know, Proverbs 14:31, that whoever's generous to the poor pleases God. Psalm 112. I mean, over and over and over in the Word, it talks about those giving to those generously, helping the poor, helping the needy. That is the heart of God. That's the heart of God. So we just need to be really aware of what's going on in this season and be in our Word. Matthew 25:34, I think you hit on this a little bit last night, but every time I read that, I am so deeply convicted in a way where it just lights the fire under me. Like, these are God's people, and when we do it unto them, we're doing it unto God. You know, I always think, what if someone came up next to me? What if someone, you know, homeless and was just stinky and looked like the epitome of what would scare some people, and I shunned them and I turned them away because of how they looked? And that was God just sending an angel to see, how will you truly treat the people, my people? How will you treat them? You know, my dad, so he used to run a mission. So I was raised as a portion of my life helping out at the mission. So he was there all the time. We ran the mission. And one time he was getting ready to close up, and this man who was just very homeless and just very broken came and knocked on the door. And my dad was wanting to get out because we spent so much time there that when it was over at night, you want to close up and get home. And this man said, you know, can I get a drink of water? And my dad said, there's no more food. Like, I'll try to get you a bag of food. We have no more hot food. And he said, no, it's okay. Can you just get me a drink of water? My dad said, sure. So he gets him a drink of water. The guy slowly drinks, slow. And my dad's like, okay. So then he said, can you trouble me for, or can I trouble you for one more drink of water? And my dad was like, all right. Gets him another drink of water, slowly drinks it. And at this point, my dad's just like, come on already. Just chug the water. Let's go. And so then as the man, my dad had this thought, I'm going to go get him some food anyway and send it with him. So my dad really quickly turns just to say, hold on one second, I'll be right back. And the man is gone, completely gone. It's a block. There was nowhere for him to go. He wasn't behind the building. My dad walked all over. And, you know, he said, I just feel like those moments are tests from God to see truly how we're going to treat people. It didn't matter he was running a mission. How was he treating the people in the mission? Okay, so I'm just ending with this, with Feed the Need. This is what we're doing right now. So this is how we're going to practically help this through the winter and through the season. And if anyone wants to be a part of that, we would love for you to be a part of this. So for Thanksgiving, we're collecting baskets. They're like clothing baskets, and they have a list of all the items that you need for a Thanksgiving dinner. Fiesta Foods and Raised Thriftway has a dinner for $20. It includes a pie, which is very cool. It's everything you need. And I think there's even a ham and a turkey in that dinner. So we ask people to bring that meal in the clothing basket, and then we take them out, which is Saturday, 21st? Yes, Saturday before Thanksgiving. Thank you. Okay, so we're meeting at the church at 10 o'clock, and we're taking all those baskets, and we're going all over into the community. We're really trying to hit, there's a lot of poverty within Davis High School, within their homes, so we're trying to, we got a list from a guidance counselor who's going to help us get those meals into those homes, but we're going all over into the city. Right now we have 50 baskets, but we'd like to double that, even triple. We're also doing a, during the Christmas time, we are doing a blanket, gloves, coat drive, and we are going to collect as many as possible, and we're going to go out. I'm sorry I don't have the date on this. I knew I was forgetting something. But we're going to go out into the community, I think it's the week before Christmas. So we're also going to give them a big thing of food and then give them blankets, you know, whatever they need. But we're also going to be hitting near the river and giving as many people down near the river, like blankets and the warm items that they need. I can't fathom. I want to give everyone tents right now. I'm sorry. I know this is such a heated political issue, but I'm like, I can't. You tell me that you're like laying near the river and you don't want to give a tent to somebody just to get through the winter months. I'm sorry. I love Jesus. Love everyone. Okay. Okay, and then also we're doing a mission Christmas party, and this we do the third Wednesday of December, and so we're going to take a Christmas tree, and we're taking presents, and we actually go there once a month to the people who are, like, in the shelter, and they are moms and dads who maybe they just lost their job or spouses have left, and so this is a special program that also has kids involved, and so we're going to go and just throw a huge Christmas party for them. We would love for you guys to be involved in that. They are amazing and so grateful. We love them. And then last but not least, we're doing a blessing blitz. And this is where we take an offering and whatever comes in. So if $20 comes in or $500 come in, whatever comes in, we take that immediately. We go to Walmart. We go all over. This year, I think we're going to expand it, even going to Goodwill. We're going to all these stores, getting gift cards, and we're going to walk around the store and ask the Holy Spirit just to guide us. And who needs, some people, they look very well-dressed. You have no idea what they're going through. They have no money for their kids' Christmas presents. So we're just going to go and just, we just blitz them with blessings and just pray over them and tell them we love them. And so that's it. I love what you're doing here. And thank you so much for allowing us to share what we're doing. And God is good. And we're all doing this together, right? When one wins, Jesus wins. So awesome.
Alvin wants to do something really fast.
Yeah. So we do want to say thank you for coming, but right now I would like Pastor Gay to come up. And we want to honor her. She is the first lady of the house, and she is awesome. She truly does have a heart for all of us, and she loves each and every one of us in our own way. And I don't know if you feel the love from her, but I do. So I just want to honor her and say thank you very much. Can I have my birthday?
Okay, I love Pastor Carrie so much. Her heart, like, ah, I'm already crying. Which, if you've ever heard me speak, I hate crying. But I'm going to need these. I just feel so challenged this weekend. Why do I even do my makeup? Even last night, I came home and I told Stephen, I'm like, gosh, I was just so wrecked. And I didn't feel like, you know, you could be doing things for God and you can run a ministry and you can do things and feel like, gosh, I'm really doing something. You know, I really feel like people have been touched and God's always like, you're not done. You know, there's so much more. And anyway, that's just a side note because that's not what I'm talking about. But so 2 summers ago, I guess it was like the women's conference that I went to at Battleground, God started doing something in my heart, and he started challenging me to, I just was, you know, when you get kind of like, I don't know if anybody else gets this way, but I can get kind of like grumpy and like you just start mulling stuff over and you're just not happy and it's like something needs to change and I'm just frustrated and I'm fighting it and I was just complaining about a bunch of stuff to two people that I'm very close with. And I'm like, rah, 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 you know, and just, I mean, it was bad. It was really bad. And I literally, in the middle of that, God stopped me. And he was like, if you want things to change, be the change. And I was like, that is not what I wanted to hear. Like, that's, can't you just put it on their heart to do it? And God was like, he just so impressed in me, like, if you're going to sit here and say that kind of stuff, and if you're going to be so frustrated or, you know, whatever with the community, things that, you know, the lack of whatever, then you need to be the difference. And I was like, okay, you know, I kind of like surrendered to God in that moment and was like, all right, whatever. And then I went home and God continued to put stuff on my heart. And one night, God always wakes me up in the middle of the night, which is so mean because he knows that I love to sleep. So I'm always like, that's the one thing, like, I so enjoy sleeping, and I have 2 babies, so, well, a 3-year-old and a baby, and so I'm like, I really, that's precious time, and so God knows, like, if he's ever going to get me, it's while I'm sleeping, but he woke me up and just put this on my heart, and I literally took pages of notes. Stephen was sleeping like a baby, but I was awake writing pages and pages of notes of something that God wanted me to do, and So I went back to sleep after that and woke up the next morning and I was terrified. I was like, God, I cannot. Basically, this is where 31 women came from. And he just put on my heart these things that he wanted me to do. And I was like, there's no way on earth I can do this. When I was an intern here in the church, I think I was 18 or 19. They, like, one of the requirements where you had to be a part of women's ministry, I hated women's ministry. I'm going to be completely honest. I was like, I do not fit in. I am a youth. I want to be a youth. And now I'm like, I don't like youth. Like, I don't want to be a part of youth. But God is so, I didn't have a relationship with my mom. I didn't have a good relationship, I should say. And so I didn't know how to relate to women. And God is so faithful. I fought it, and I literally would come up with every single excuse you could imagine, and they were like, you have to go. I was the only one who didn't go, and I just kept fighting it, and so here I am, 27, running a women's ministry, which God is so funny, and it's hard. It's really hard, and God's just so, it doesn't matter if you think like God's not calling me to run a ministry or God's, you know, I could never do that or whatever. Trust me, I've said all those things and don't say that because God will make you do it. But your ministry, it doesn't have to be 31 women, feed the need. It doesn't have to be those things. Each one of us is called to reach people. It could be the person behind you in the grocery store. It could be the clerk checking out your groceries. It could be, you know, your neighbor, your kids, your people in your family or in your house that don't know the Lord. Those are all ministries. Getting outside of yourself is a ministry. Whatever God calls you to. And what God really put on my heart, because I'm not someone who naturally, like, I never had anything to do with homeless people or anything like that. As a kid, I was very sheltered. I was never taught, like, I was afraid of those people. And I really didn't expect to cry at all. So this, you know, stuff that we've been doing as 31 women, one outreach that we did, we raised quarters and we went down to the laundromat and we raised like $600 in quarters and we just paid for people's laundry for 3 nights. And some people were like, no, I don't need it, you know, whatever. And I was just like, okay, you know, if you want, you know, I'll come over. It's not, they're like, why are you doing that? You know, people are so cautious of like, not everybody, but some people were so cautious of like, I'm not a welfare case. Like I'm not, I don't need your handout. And we were like, no, we're doing it for everyone. We're not targeting you. Like, you know, everyone here. And some people would like warm up and stuff. And I just remember this one guy came in and for some reason I was just like, there was something about him. I'm like, you look familiar. And I was like, where do you work? And you know, I'm loading the stuff. And he's like, oh, I don't have a job. You know, I used to work here. And I'm like, well, I don't know you from any of those places. And so I just kind of chatted with him and then he left and he did like, he came back all 3 nights to wash laundry. I don't know. I'm like, that's a lot of laundry. He was there like for hours. And so I'm like, I think he brought like his neighbors and stuff. And, I gave him one of our cards one of the nights and months later, I think it was like 2 months later, I was out of town and I don't know if it was Gaylene who called me. Someone called me and was like, there was a guy who came. The night before, he was about to take his life. He was so depressed. He was so lost. And he's like, I almost jumped out. Like, I wanted to jump out the window. I had no hope. I was going through my laundry, and I found this card for 31 women. I'll never forget this. So he came to church the next day. And, I mean, I've never seen him since, but I didn't even see him then, but he came to church and he was like so touched while he was here. And I just bawled my eyes out when I heard that. I was like, God, if everything that I've gone through for this ministry, if everything I've gone through in my life was for this one man, I'll do it again. Like, I didn't care. I didn't care. I wasn't thinking about like, this time I wanted to give up. I remember when, you know, so-and-so said this to me and I wanted to quit or I hit a roadblock here and I was depressed or whatever and I wanted to give up. I didn't think about any of that. I was like, God, I'll do it again. And I just want to encourage you guys, whatever it is, whatever, for me, it's a constant choice to be obedient. And I will tell you, I have such a hard time being obedient, which is funny because I have a 3-year-old who we're teaching obedience to, and I always tell her, obey right away. And I didn't think of it until now, but God probably says that to me all the time. And I'm like, no, you know, and throwing my fit just like my 3-year-old. And God's just saying, obey right away. And it's not in like a, you know, obey right away. It's just an encouragement, obey right away. And I can tell you the times that I have said no. And I'm getting to the point where it's like, I told Stephen last night, I was like, I don't know, the protocol, I'm not like, you get, I feel like, or at least I've had it in my life, this picture of like what a pastor's wife looks like, acts like, whatever. And I told Stephen, like, I do not fit in any box like that. And I was crying, and he's like, what happened tonight? But I was just like, you know, I don't know the SOPs, you know, standard operating procedures for this. And, like, I don't know what to do or what, I don't say the right things or whatever. I was like, I just know how to be me. And sometimes that's rough. And the people that I'm close to are like, amen. But, you know, God's just calling us to be obedient. And it's so simple. And it's so, even if you never see the fruit of it, even if you never see, you know, even if that guy never came, there was a man who also that night, he was a Hispanic man, and I don't even think he understood anything that I told him, but I was like, you know, so excited, and I'm like, I don't care if you don't understand me, let's go. And he was just, I think someone was there kind of translating, but I think it was Gina. And so she told him, like, you know, whatever, and I don't know what she told him. She could have told him anything, but yeah, she's loco. I'm like, I would have caught that one. But she told him, and he started to weep. And I was like, to see a grown man weep, like, I have a dad, and I've always been close to my dad. And I, if he cries, I'm like, that's it for me. Like, I'm done. I'm bawling my eyes out because he just hardly ever cries. And so to see this man cry, and just a woman that night too was like, I had to choose between gas or laundry. This is such a blessing, you don't even know. And she was weeping. And it was like something so simple, like literally, I think it was like $1.25 to wash their clothes and maybe 75 cents or $1 to dry them. And you think it's so, that's, people are like literally living, a quarter makes a difference for people. And we don't think that way. I told Stephen, how many times do I have to rewash the same load in the dish or in the washer because we forget that it's in there and then it stinks and then you have to rewash it. And then I'm like, you know, 10:30 at night, I'm not going to put it in the dryer. I just forget about it and I'll get it the next morning. People don't have that luxury. A lot of people in our city don't. And it's that kind of stuff that it truly makes a life-altering difference for them. And even if they never make it into our church, even if we never see the fruit of that, even if I never see those people again, I believe those are seeds planted. And I don't care if they never even remember the ministry's name. I don't care about that because I know, and I've told Gaylene this too, I am being changed because of this. And it's all about them, but I know God is doing something in my heart as well. And it's something that, you know, because I wasn't raised in like a, we were such an inward family and it was all about us. And I know a lot of families are that way. And it's just like, I don't want my kids to be raised that way. I want them to see those people and have compassion because I've had to learn compassion and it's not an easy lesson. It's painful knowing that, you know, and Stephen will tell you I'm not compassionate, especially when he's sick. He's like, you'll leave me for dead. I'm like, yeah, no, I wouldn't leave him for dead, but I'm always like, suck it up. You know, I'm just like really, I handle it and I take care of two babies when I'm sick, so you can do it. And he's like, no, but I'm sure all men are that way, but I love him anyway. But God is just so, when I realized, I wanted to say this story, then I'm probably done. I told Gaylene 15 minutes is a long time, and here I am probably 30 minutes. But anyway, I was having a really rough time one day, and a friend came over for a minute, and I kind of talked to her. She told me she was going through a hard time, and I was like, okay, well, I'll pray for you. You know, she had to go to work, and I was like, I'll pray for you, and she left, and I was praying for her, and God was like, text her this, and I was like really having a rough day. I was like super frustrated, just in one of those moods. It was just, it was a bad day, and I text her, and I was like, as I was texting her, I was like, God, I don't even have anything to give. How can you ask me to give, pour out into someone when I literally have nothing to give? And I was just like, okay, God, I'm going to be obedient. I started texting, you know, God gave me a little word for her. And I started texting it. And literally the second that I sent the text, I felt so full. I felt so like, first, my cup was so empty. There was like literally not even a drop in the cup. As soon as I sent that text, it was like I was overflowing with joy, with love. It wasn't even that great. Like it was probably just something, you know, what it was so simple. And it was like God was saying, It doesn't matter if you have nothing and you think you can't give out of nothing. You can't. But the second you obey, God will fill you up. And if you feel like, well, I'm not in a place where I can reach someone. I'm not in a place where, you know, I can go do all these outreach things or whatever. I have to be in a certain place spiritually before I can do that. That's a lie. That is such a lie from the enemy. I am so broken all the time. I'm constantly, God's dealing with things in my heart and drawing things out of me. And none of us have it together. I don't care how many ministries you run. You don't ever have it together. And God's using that. And he sees that. And even if you have nothing to give, the second you obey, God is so faithful. He will fill you up and you will overflowing pour out onto somebody else and bless somebody else. And so I just want to encourage you guys, even when you feel like you're working out of an empty cup, know that God, out of your obedience, God is honoring that and he's going to bless people no matter what. And so that's all that I wanted to say.
A couple of things that Sarah didn't mention, excuse me, that I do want to say is that she has also been working with several of our women, and they minister to what's called Sunrise House, and it's like a little halfway house for young girls that have come out of human trafficking. They can't be integrated back into the family right away. So this ministry is something that 31 women have has taken on. And then the other thing that 31 women has been doing, and it's going to get bigger over the winter time, is Sarah texted out and asked for meals, like frozen meals, casseroles, lasagnas, you know, whatever you make. And then she receives them. And then when she hears of a need, she's able to take two or three dinners out of the freezer and take them over to the family. So you don't have to be in charge of anything. You can make a meal in your home even and then get it to Sarah in a frozen container. And then it's ready to go. So this is a ministry that's ongoing throughout. So if you have any questions about any of these ministries, Feed the Need, the Widows and the Orphans, 31 Women, come see us. Go back and look at the display. Just know that sometimes you feel all alone doing the ministry. You feel like nobody's helping. And they're desperate for help. So just remember that. And anything you can do is wonderful. I mean, trust me. When I hear somebody is going to make a meal for Sarah, I'm like, you go. That's awesome, you know. So anyway, well, we are going to take a break. Food has been laid out again this morning. So make sure you go through and fill yourselves up. And then, oh, yes, thank you. Sorry, I'm starting to get croaky, but back just to the right as you exit this door on the window is, Sarah, you may have to come talk because I'm really losing it quickly.
You guys may have seen the little board out there that says write an encouraging word. What we're doing is writing, everyone write like whatever God puts on your heart, write it on a card and clip it on there. And at the end, we're going to have each woman go and grab a random one and read, you know, whatever God has for you that was put on someone else's heart for you. And it's funny, I was telling a few people earlier, last night, the word that my husband shared, literally 15, maybe 10 minutes before that, God put on my heart to write on one of those cards, your identity is found in Christ alone. And then Stephen shared that word last night about identity and finding it only in Christ. And I was like, God is so good. That I know that's for you guys. So anyway, write down, if you haven't already, write one down there. Also, 31 Women shirts are for sale, $17 each. There's two different styles. If we don't have the style or size, I can take a pre-order for you, and we're going to be ordering more shirts. And if you didn't get a bag, then let me know, and I can get you guys a bag if you didn't get your coffee card and all that.
Amen. So let me go ahead and pray over the food, and then you guys can just mingle. Father, we thank you for this food that's been lovingly, lovingly prepared. Thank you for the ministry team that's done that. And God, I just pray you'd bless them. So bless this food to our bodies, nourish us, and let connection happen in this time, God. Let hearts connect. And Father, just be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Without you, I fall apart. You're